RNP and other next-gen technologies? Are things under control? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. At last week's 54th Annual International Convention and Trade Show of the Aircraft Electronics Association, I got to spend about 20 minutes talking with Rick Perry, who was AEA's Vice President for Government and Industry Affairs. In yesterday's first installment of that conversation, I talked to Rick about technology, training, ADS-B, and safety management system issues affecting the avionics industry. In today's conclusion, we move on to compatibility between NextGen in the U.S. and Single Sky in Europe, and what NextGen really means. Do the agreements between the U.S. and EU announced in the past year mean the issue of international compatibility is now under control?
Well, I don't think anything's under control until it's over. But I can tell you that all of the principal players understand the globalization of aviation and the need for equipment to be compatible in each region. For that sense, I'm comfortable that we're in the place we need to be moving forward, in that equipment that is manufactured in Europe will be compatible with the European system and marketable in the U.S., and products that are made in the U.S. will be compatible to the U.S. system and marketable in Europe. All of the principals are trying to go through ICAO so that there's international standard that's applicable to everybody.
What about the other technologies involved in NextGen? You know, when I look at the march of technology through even general, especially general aviation, you know, you still have to find a guy out there who can rebuild your Continental A-65. Some of these legacy technologies take decades and decades to disappear. Will we ever get to the point where we realize the cost benefits of having satellite-based navigation infrastructure? And by that, I mean be able to start decommissioning ground radars and things like that.
Well, it depends on whether you're talking navigation, communication, or surveillance. What gets lost in the translation is that next gen is fundamental changes to communications, navigation, and surveillance. As such, the cockpit that we knew of 20 years ago will fundamentally be obsolete in 14 years, in 2025. Data link communication is anticipated to start rolling out in 2018. Surveillance is going to ADS-B in 2020. The FAA is talking about best equipped, best served, but we really don't know what that means yet. If you're an IFR pilot, will you need data link to get en route following? If you want to shoot an approach into a high-density airport, are you going to have RNP? All of these things are the factors that we're dealing with. And unfortunately, we have the 30,000-foot view from the FAA in their flight plan, but we really don't know how it applies to general aviation. We know that these technologies are intended to be used in commercial aviation, so that the airlines can fly from Los Angeles to Newark, literally being sequenced into Newark when they take off from Los Angeles. Fully support that. That's a great, great idea. But when you take that same requirement and say, well, I'm doing flight following between Kansas City and St. Louis in my 172, do I have to have data link communication to get flight following? And we don't know that answer. That's going to be the challenge.
That may be become a new subscription service for somebody.
Maybe.
Let's talk about specifically the other technologies and what they are. What other pieces of NextGen need to fall into place before we really know where this is going and what we're doing?
It's not a matter of technology. It's a matter of application. ADS-B is surveillance. And essentially, it is a parallel to the radar system that we've kind of come to know. And the efficiency of the radar system, the tracking system, the surveillance system, will be improved with ADS-B. There's not a lot of benefit to general aviation pilot. Consider it to be our user fee to the efficiency of the ATC system. But when it comes to the other technologies, it's really a matter of how far the FAA takes the technology down. If they take data link communications and essentially all of your IFR flight plan and your briefing is done by data link, and the only way you can get that is data link, and you choose to fly into a commercial airport, you better plan on it. And you're going to have to put probably VDL2 or FANS 1 systems in there. And it's basically, you know, VHF data link. A new box and some display mechanism to display it. The navigation piece is an interesting challenge. I was speaking one day with an FAA person, and they were saying that the proliferation of WAS approaches has kind of died off. And I said, well, you know, why is that? And I said, well, because we're going RMP. Really? Well, WAS is a function of RMP, but it's required navigation performance. And what we're doing is that the aircraft will be certified for a specific required navigation performance and validated. So it's not a matter of putting in a VOR and being able to fly VOR approaches, or an ADF and being able to fly ADF approaches. It's a matter of putting in, having your aircraft validated and certified to a required navigation level, 1, 5, 10, whatever the airport requires or the route requires, and maintaining it to that, and then having the airplane to have the ability to tell you when they no longer meet that. So there's an indicator that says, we're not picking up all of the satellites, you don't have RMP1 anymore, you have RMP5. So bottom line is that it's really a matter of where the FAA puts the performance requirements.
More with Rick Perry from AEA 2011 in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, wrapping up a conversation with AEA's Rick Perry about regulatory issues facing the avionics industry in the U.S. A moment ago, Rick mentioned required performance navigation and how a sudden compromise in GPS signal integrity could interfere with the smooth administration of RNP. I couldn't let Rick get away without asking him about the significant threat to GPS integrity posed by LightSquared's proposal to deploy 40,000 rural broadband hubs across the U.S., each equipped with transmitters running up to 1.5 kilowatts, on frequencies adjacent to the band in which weak GPS downlinks reach GPS receivers. Is this threat serious? Will AEA be directly involved? Will the Coalition to Save Our GPS be up to this challenge?
First of all, we are part of the coalition. We have joined the coalition and pursue it. It's something that every person in aviation should be on the phone to their representatives, Congress or Senate, and they should be requesting that the FCC take a more active role in resolving this. The challenge is that the license for LightSquared was expedited and bypassed the normal rulemaking procedures. It's fair to say that the outcome probably wouldn't have been the same had they gone through due process. FCC issued the license but requires them to work with the GPS industry to solve the challenges. That's not really a good solution. The problem is that LightSquared is too close to what's happening for aviation right now. And I think it's going to take some congressional effort to really put pressure on the FCC to withdraw their license and to go into this for a full rulemaking process where it should have been to begin with.
Well, Rick, when that day comes, we'll be glad to have guys like you on our side in that battle, because I get the sense that AEA has a good relationship with regulatory authorities, and that isn't always the case, and we appreciate your work. Thank you very much for taking the time to tell us about these updates, and go get them.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Rick Perry is Vice President for Government and Industry Affairs for the Aircraft Electronics Association. Find out more about the organization online at AEA.net. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.